This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move along in the Psalter, picking up with Psalms 101 to 103. I will walk with integrity, like an evening shadow, that a people to be created may praise the Lord, to set free those doomed to die, and bless the Lord, O my soul. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
appear to us. Appear to us. Thank you. A reading from Acts chapter 8. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
An angel of the Lord sends Philip chasing after a chariot. A eunuch from Ethiopia is reading the prophet Isaiah. He hears the good news of Jesus and believes. There is water in the wilderness, and he is baptized. The gospel and the things that come together in this text can be messy business. The Spirit blows where he wills. And we don't like it messy. We prefer it tidy and organized. Perhaps it's our German heritage for many of us. Alles in Ordnung. Everything in order. God is, after all, a God of order. But order doesn't necessarily mean organized, at least in the way we think about it humanly. Being organized means we're in control, which is really at the heart of things. So we have to organize things and make them fit into our scheme of how things should work. Yet one of the very disturbing things about the book of Acts at least from an organizational perspective, is how utterly disorganized everything seems to be. Apostles going here, apostles going there, apostles going everywhere. No one seems to have a plan. Philip, who had just been appointed to wait on tables in Jerusalem to assure that the Greek widows received their fair share, is now suddenly off wandering through the Gaza wilderness at the direction of an angel. Why bother with this whole business of waiting on tables? He must have been thinking to himself. We certainly wouldn't do things this way. We'd have boards and committees, wouldn't we? We'd appoint mission boards to interview appropriate candidates and decide on a mission strategy. But here an angel of the Lord says, "Get up and go." And he gets up and he goes south from Jerusalem to Gaza along that lakeside road. And as he's walking alongside the road, a chariot carrying a man from Ethiopia comes alongside. He's a court official of the queen, the one in charge of the treasury. He's a eunuch, which makes him a double outsider in Jerusalem, a mutilated Gentile with absolutely no chance whatsoever of entering into the court of the temple to offer his sacrifices. He's forever on the outside, barred from worship, relegated to sitting on the steps and listening in. Everything in the Old Testament screamed at him, "This is not for you." A Gentile, a eunuch, an Ethiopian? But God is at work here. This man is a God-fearer, a worshiper from a distance who had made the journey to Jerusalem. But imagine in our day, a person being told church after church, "You're not welcome here. You don't belong here." And yet he keeps coming. Everything brings him to the porch, listening to the hymns and the readings. He's a man of means. After all, he is the court-appointed treasurer, and so he owns an Isaiah scroll. Do you know how much an Isaiah scroll would have cost in those days? I can't even imagine as a book buyer myself. But as his chariot is going down the road back to Ethiopia, he's reading from the Isaiah scroll out loud, the way the rabbis said you were to read it, out loud. Silent didn't count. Like a sheep, he was led to slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. He wonders to himself, who is this prophet speaking of? The one who is silent before the accusers, this one to whom justice is denied, this one whose life is taken from the earth, this one who has no descendants. In fact, this one sort of reminded the eunuch of himself, a man with no descendants. Is this the prophet or someone else? He wondered. And just then, Philip happened to be walking by, and the Spirit nudging him to run over and jump on this chariot and hop on board. Two strangers in the desert, two men who would never, ever in this world have been together for anything, are brought together by the Spirit around the text of Isaiah in a chariot in the Gaza wilderness. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I, unless someone guides me?" comes the response. In that little chariot, a congregation was gathered, two or three gathered around the word. And there the Spirit is, there the Lord is, there the church is. We are not meant to be alone. We are not called to believe alone. The scriptures are a community book, not a private book. The eunuch owned that Isaiah scroll, but that Isaiah scroll would have been unrolled and read in the assembly and interpreted together in the community. What a great mistake today we make when we think that having a Bible is all there is. The Bible creates community, a preacher and a hearer. And in the middle of all of that is Jesus, the heart and center of the scriptures. Now the eunuch knew what the words meant. He could read Greek. There was no secret about what the words meant. The sentences were clear enough. What he didn't know and couldn't even know on his own was who this was all about. Was it speaking of Isaiah or someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. Jesus is the center of the scripture no matter where you open it. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Job, Psalm, Proverbs, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, all the way to Malachi. But here, even though Philip could have started anywhere, he started right there where the Ethiopian was reading in Isaiah. And the passage of the servant of the Lord who suffers for the sins of the people. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. He opened his mouth, it says, and he proclaimed Jesus from the scriptures. That's how it works. It's that simple. Philip opened his mouth. You have to open your mouth if you're going to speak, if anything is going to come out. He opened his mouth and proclaimed the good news of Jesus from that passage on the suffering servant. Good news, the news of forgiveness, redemption, life, salvation. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Good news for the Ethiopian. He was in. The suffering servant named Jesus, who was so much like the Ethiopian that he could almost see himself in Jesus, died and rose to bring that Ethiopian eunuch into a kingdom that once excluded him. The outsider was in. That's the good news of Epiphany. The outsiders are in Jesus. You who were not a people are in. You're the people of God. You who were not in Israel are in. You are God's Israel, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen people, God's treasured possession. You who are on the outside are now on the inside in Jesus. That's the good news. And there's even more good news. There happened to be water in the wilderness, something you've reflected on the last couple days, yes? It might have been that stream in the Valley of Elah that David crossed when he went to meet up with Goliath and found nice, round, smooth 5 stones there. It might have been a spring or a pool that just sprung up like living water in the wilderness. But there was water in that there wilderness, something somewhere along the way. Philip must have told that eunuch what Peter preached at Pentecost. Repent and be baptized. Because the eunuch saw that water in the wilderness and he said, look, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? Now, if Philip were one of us, or we were Philip, we might have been thinking in an organized sort of way, I better get my paperwork together, and there's going to be an investigation in Jerusalem, and word gets out about this, and what am I supposed to do? Because this sort of thing wasn't covered in deacon training. Yet, he commands the chariot to stop, the text says, and they both went down into the water, and Philip baptizes him. That water in the wilderness was for the Ethiopian, his Red Sea, his Jordan River, his burial with Christ, his resurrection with Christ, his washing of regeneration and renewal, his rebirth of water and the Spirit. He returned to Ethiopia, to the court of Candace, to his vocation as treasurer, a new man, a baptized believer in Jesus. He returned home a Christian. Perhaps he was responsible for taking the gospel to our brothers and sisters in Ethiopia, some are with us here as descendants of those this morning. That would have been a good reason for Luke to tell this story in the Acts of the Apostles. One man is all it takes to bring the good news. As for Philip, no sooner was the Ethiopian baptized and they came up out of the water, Philip disappeared. He was disapparated, only to reappear at Azotus, one of the 5 Philistine cities. He ends up in verse 40 in Caesarea as our text ends. And then if we jump forward 20 years to Acts chapter 21, verse 2, he's still there in Caesarea and has 4 daughters. A quick trip on the Gaza Road and then 20 years in Caesarea. There's nothing predictable when it comes to the length and location of our calls in this vocation. There is water in all of our wildernesses too. Baptismal water and the word. the raw material of the Spirit's working. You've heard that word too. The same good news that Philip preached and the Ethiopian heard. You've been baptized with that same baptism that joins you as a living branch to the vine Jesus. The Gaza road of yours is a messy one too, with unexpected turns and Greeks running up to your chariots and bringing water in your wilderness. There will be chariots to chase after too. You never really know when and where the Spirit will blow, and it will be yours to speak the good news to the one who asks you, what does this mean? Pastors and deaconesses engage with real-world brokenness, sin, and struggles. Service to messy people. God is anything but organized. Ordered, yes, he knows where it's all going to end. But to our eyes, it's all quite disorganized. And yet, this is the way the gospel works. One person at a time. The scripture word, baptismal water, the Spirit of God calling, enlightening, gathering, keeping. So as you have heard, speak. Open your mouth and speak the good news of the Lamb who before his shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. Speak good news to the outsider, to the eunuch, to the one seeking the truth, to the one asking what makes you tick. What is it about Jesus that is so important that everyone should know? You will find water in the wilderness and a gloriously messy gospel. Don't try to organize it. Just believe it and open your mouth and speak it. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Amen. We rise for the Te Deum.
hear my prayer.
And as my God comes to you.
Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, who fills all things with your presence, we meekly beseech you of your great love to keep us near unto you this day. Grant that in all our sayings and doings, we may remember that you see us, and that we may always have grace to know and perceive what things you would have us do, and strength to fulfill the same. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen.